Amen. If you'll join me in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, this morning we will be looking at verses 3 through 11. The title of our sermon is, I Hold You in My Heart. And our keywords for worshipers in training, our heart, remember, and church. Well, if you're visiting with us for the first time this morning at Redeemer Baptist Church, and you didn't know, this is my final sermon as the pastor here at this church. I've been the pastor here for 14 and a half years. I began when I was 25 years old, and in April of this year, I will turn 40. Wow. Now, as with all ministries in a local church, there have been amazing times. There have been very difficult times. There have been some very painful times, but from start to finish, it has been all that God has designed for this church and for me as one of His servants for the sake of His kingdom. Since announcing several months ago that this day was on the horizon, I've had time to think back over these 14 years here, the triumphs, the changes, the mistakes, some of the crazy things I've said, the ways God has taught and changed me as a man and as a pastor and as a preacher. I've thought about all the weddings I've been blessed to perform. Felicia and I were trying to count, I think maybe 20 or so. All the babies that have been born that I've gotten to hold, all the baptisms I've been able to do, the few funerals I've officiated. I've remembered many of the people who've come to Redeemer while I've been around. Some still here, some have moved, some have left. In that time frame, we've changed our name. We've rewritten our constitution and bylaws. We went from having two elders and two deacons at one point to having four elders and four wonderful deacons. Of course, my right-hand lady for 14 and a half years, our administrative assistant, a children's coordinator, and a very strong group of lay leaders who make sure this local church is firing on all cylinders every single day. I've had the great honor and privilege of baptizing many of you, and then having the opportunity to marry you to your spouse, and then hold your first child. If you're 14 years old or younger, and your family's been here the entire time, I've known you your entire life, and the person you've seen standing here most often has been me. That is a humbling reality. And I can only pray now that at some point in your hearing the word of God preached from my mouth, that the Lord would be pleased to save you if He hasn't already. I have always had a burden for our young people, that they could escape the frivolous expectations placed on those who are young in this world, and instead that they would embrace a Christ-saturated way of life that is constantly set on finding greater and greater communion with God, that is wholeheartedly set on loving and serving the church, and that is voraciously set on making the truth of the gospel known to the ends of the earth. The truth is, if you're a teenager this morning, I wasn't that much older than you when I started preaching here. And only now that I'm turning 40 can I say that I've been in the same place doing the same thing for 14 years. I really have only started to get a sense that I've grown up a little bit and maybe have some life experience to offer for my own walk with God and my own interactions with His people. We've laughed together, we've cried together, we've experienced tremendous joy together, we've felt the sting and weight of crushing sorrow together. We've been in each other's homes, we've eaten at each other's tables, and of course we've had the great privilege of singing together, praying together, eating at the Lord's Supper table together, and learning from and being shaped by God's Word together. we've been able to start a seminary in Nigeria and build a large compound and have a staff and students. We helped plant a church in Savannah. We were a founding member church of the Reformed Baptist Network. We've sought to do all that we do with the desire to walk faithfully with the Lord, to fulfill the Great Commission and the mission of this church. Redeemer Baptist Church is a family of faith that exists to worship God with joy, to love our neighbors, to see transformed lives, and to send and be sent for the spread of the gospel through Jesus Christ. That's the mission. And while we can always look at the circumstances that have unfolded through the past and recount the challenges, some failures, I do want to say that I am content that together, all of us have given of ourselves to ensure that we are staying on mission, and I'm convinced that we've done it well. Not perfectly by any means, but well. I think the Lord continues to bless Redeemer because we have set out to shape all that we are and all that we do according to His Word, never being afraid to make necessary changes when we thought that it would be important to be more faithfully aligned with the Word of God and His commands. And we've been able to do it while continuing to persevere in unity with one another, with our love for one another, because we are a people who have been amazed by the goodness and the faithfulness and the grace and the kindness and the mercy of our awesome God. So with that being said, I'd like to do what's been one of my greatest joys in life, invite you to join me in God's Word. This morning, in Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory of God and praise of God. Now you know I have a firm commitment to preaching from what we see in the text before us. I don't like to waver from the scriptures when I'm preaching, but I ask this morning that you'll bear with me as I seek to use Paul's words to express my own personal thoughts, my own prayers, and my own hopes for Redeemer Baptist Church in the future. And most certainly, my own heartfelt love for all of you, as my ministry here comes to its conclusion. I spent a lot of time praying and asking God to help me find the right text for what I wanted to say. And this is where we landed, and I think it's perfect. And to throw another wrench, perhaps, in what's normal, I don't have 3 points this morning. I have 4. And each of them is an expression of my love for all of you, reflected in what Paul writes to the church at Philippi. The first thing is in verses 3 through 5. I will always thank God and pray for Redeemer Baptist Church. Look at Paul's words again. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. I guess I should say, for y'all, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul begins this section by giving thanks to God for the Philippians' partnership with him in the gospel. A partnership is more literally the word that we know, fellowship. Now, he's not talking about a sort of punch and cookies social gathering when he mentions fellowship. He's talking about a bond, a significant unity, tying people together to a greater cause, to a greater love, to a great mutual concern for one another. And so he's writing about a warm relationship, and in this instance, between Paul and the church at Philippi. And when we hear the word fellowship, we need to think, what is the common cause? What is the common goal that they are united in pursuing? And Paul tells us here, what is it? He says it's a mutual commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see that in verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel. The Philippians had committed to support Paul's missionary work, both spiritually through prayer, but also materially by giving him financial resources to continue on his missionary journey so he didn't have to ask for anything as he was traveling around and ministering along the way. Paul had a deep affection for the people of God in Philippi. I think it's absolutely accurate to say that amongst all of the churches that Paul planted and worked with, the Philippian church was his favorite. Paul's main reason for writing this letter was to make sure that they understood his love was directed toward them and his prayers were offered to God on their behalf. And like Paul's message to the Philippians, this is my pastoral heart toward you. I truly, honestly, and sincerely thank God in all my remembrance of you all. And I can say that I am able to do so with joy because of the bonds of love that we share in the gospel as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of all that God has done in and through us here through the years at Redeemer. The fellowship here is genuine and sweet. It's a gospel partnership that is hard to come by in any church. And the truth is, over the years, we've attempted many different things that could have caused tremendous upset and division in any local church. But the Lord has kept us unified, and he has sustained us, and that is in no small part because of your trust in the leadership of this church and your willingness to walk in new and different directions when we thought it was the right thing to do or when we saw an opportunity. That is true partnership in the gospel. Seeing that God has given us all that we have, not just holding on to it for ourselves, but pursuing the greater, more important aim of making Christ's name great among the nations, which includes right here in Rincon, Georgia. Now, some of you don't know this, but prior to coming to this church, I served at another church for exactly 1 year to the day. Needless to say, it was not a good fit for us, for me or for them, and they didn't have any hesitation in telling me that was the case. And I will say, even though things got off to a bit of a rocky start here, it's exactly what we needed. It is exactly what God used to show me that life and ministry can be a tremendous blessing. When things were difficult in the first few years, I was sitting with a man one night who had pastored a church for over 30 years, and he encouraged me, and he said, ministry in the local church doesn't have to be painful. It can be really rewarding and joy-filled. I will never forget that, in large part because all of you proved to me that what he said is absolutely true. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And I have been able to serve this congregation with joy. I truly mean that. Sure, in my own times of weakness, there has been a little groaning, but nothing that has ever overshadowed my thankfulness for this church, for all of you. I will always thank God, and I will always pray for Redeemer, because you have given me so much to be thankful for so long. You will always be in my prayers, not just RBC in general, but each of you individually. I've prayed for all of you often, and I don't intend on stopping. That being said, from verse 6, I want to express to you And my second point this morning, that I believe the best days are ahead for Redeemer Baptist Church. Look again, verse 6, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Now, Paul is explaining that this kind of gospel fellowship that he wrote about, that I just described, this dying to ourselves for the good of one another, that the gospel might work in and through us for the building of the church and to the glory of God, that God will continue to work in and through us and to bring us to the day when, in the end, we will all gather together as the people of God from every tongue, tribe, people, and nation to worship God without boundaries and without borders. Our gospel fellowship will succeed gloriously when all things are made new. Why? Because our salvation is God's work from beginning to end. And Paul is telling us here that it is God's work to keep us in that great gospel fellowship until Christ's return as well. He began a good work in you. He will complete that work in you. Everything is from God. And if we would all reflect on our own personal lives, our own journeys with Christ, we will all recognize that this is not our grip on God that has made the difference in our perseverance. It is God's grip on us. There's one thing in this world that we can and we should be confident in, and that is God Himself. We cannot have confidence in our own flesh, but we can have confidence in the God who brought us to Himself and will bring us to the end, that we might experience true, unhindered, untainted fellowship with our Lord and His people forever and ever. You see, Paul is giving them an encouragement, and I want to give you a similar encouragement. Some things here at Redeemer are up in the air right now. I understand that, and I'm not under any false delusion that it's not in large part because of my transition to a new ministry. I genuinely grieve over the thought that any of you would be mad or hurt over my decision. I know that some of you may be hurt, or maybe you don't understand it, or it doesn't make sense to you. And it hurts me that you are hurting through all of this. It's actually a very humbling thing for me to know that there is genuine sadness that we are all feeling together. I know that you know I'm not the most emotional guy around on most days, but I want you to know that I'm sad. I've cried a lot through all of this, mostly in a dark room by myself, but I have. I'm sad because I know I will miss you very much. I'm sad because I know there's hurt and sadness in you. But something else that would bring me grief is if anyone here might think that this transition for my family means that RBC is resting on anything other than very solid ground. I sincerely believe when I say that the best days for this church are not in the past but are in the future. We've come a very long way in my time here. And I'm confident that this church is set up for even greater things in the days ahead. Wonderful, amazing things for the kingdom of God. A church is not its pastor. What I mean is, a church should not be built upon the ministry of a man, but upon all that we see and believe in the Scriptures, in our unified pursuit of the glory of God in all things. And for that reason, we have every reason to believe that God will continue to bless the faithfulness of this church to make His name great. It's been one of the greatest blessings of my life to lead all of us to where we are today as a church. And whatever the leadership of Redeemer looks like over the next 14 years and beyond will be exactly what God wants to use to continue to grow everyone here spiritually through all of the rejoicing and all of the weeping that is sure to come. Church life isn't easy. We have differences, we may have disagreements, sometimes our relationships can get messy and tense, but the promise that God gives us is that one day we will all rest in perfect fellowship with the entire body of Christ for all of time. we will experience the unhindered fellowship of the gospel. I don't know about you, but I am very excited for that day. No more distance between us and our brothers and sisters. From all over the world, throughout all of history, we will all spend our eternities worshiping Christ together. Not hearing sermons from this man or that, but worshiping before the throne of Christ himself. It's a future promise, but it also expresses a present reality. The present reality is that the Lord has blessed you with all that you need to continue to walk in faithfulness and unity as a church. He has given you committed, faithful leaders who are godly people, who love Jesus, who love you, who love the church, and who love what God is doing to build his kingdom. He's given you a love for his word, that you may not depart from it, but instead that you will continue to persevere in the truth. He has given you his spirit, that you might maintain the sweet fellowship of the body, and that you may be brought into more meaningful, stronger, enduring communion with all three members of the Trinity. He's given you the resources that you need to continue to pursue the mission of the church throughout the world. He's given you the promise that the work that Jesus has inaugurated will one day be brought to glorious conclusion. And in so doing, we will all know the absolute full meaning of fellowship like we've never experienced it before. I know for me, here at Redeemer, I've had some sweet times with other believers where we've been able to rejoice in our relationship in such a way that we've talked about the things of God for hours. We've been able to share our lives. We've been able to be real with one another. No pretense, no false judgment, no expectations. We've gotten a bit of a glimpse of what it will be like to have sweet, unending fellowship with all of God's people. It's a glorious opportunity that we sometimes get here on earth, and we just don't want to leave that moment. I hope you've had that. I hope you've had a gospel-saturated time with the Lord and with his people that you just never wanted to end. You never wanted to go away because you were so much a part of this, and it was communicating to you what meant so much as a result of what Christ has done in you and those that you love. And so Paul says, he who began that good work in you, by saving and sanctifying you, he will bring it to completion fully and finally in the day of Jesus Christ. And so the sun isn't setting on Redeemer Baptist Church. It's just beginning to rise. And I trust that in the years ahead, there will be many, many people who come here to ask about this God that you know, this God that has so transformed all of your lives and who has knit everyone here together in a way that isn't reflected any other way in a person's life. My earnest prayer is that God would continue to grow all of you spiritually, that he would continue to grow all of you together in love and in unity. Remember what he's promised in his word. If he is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? You have all things, and amongst those things is a bright future so long as you continue to walk by faith to the glory of our great God. Thirdly, verses 7 and 8. I want to express to all of you that you are my family, and I will always hold you in my heart. Read again, verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. One of the blessings of being in ministry is having the joy of watching God work through your efforts to bring people to himself and to mature them through what's being done in the work of preaching and teaching and discipleship. And it's unequivocally true that for any minister of the gospel, the people in this world that we hold most dear to our hearts are those whom have benefited the most from our labors. We've spent a lot of time together. We've certainly prayed for these people. We've bore their burdens. We've sought to point them to the truth. We've rejoiced alongside them in the work that the Lord has done in them. It's a process of spiritual gestation that we never forget. And given the situation in Philippi, when Paul arrived, it's quite evident that he held this church near to his heart for this very reason. He saw them from where they were, he sees them where they are now, and he is overjoyed with all that God is doing in and through them. And likewise, when we're ministered to by someone and they lead us to the truth or they help us to grow in a tremendous way, we have a specific affinity for them. We love and respect them. We have a deep longing to bless them as well. And it's quite obvious here that that is exactly what the church was doing for Paul. It was a mutual love. It was this unity that was expressed in their affection for one another through words and through deeds. But Paul specifically here wants them to know where he's at with them. He has this deep at the center of his being and consciousness. He says, "It is right for me to feel this way about you all. I hold you in my heart." It's a sweet affirmation expressing the full scope of his love for them. Now that word, partakers, in verse 7, it could be translated as fellowshippers. And I really like that because it gives us a better picture of what he's saying in context. Think of all of this from beginning in verse 3. I thank God for you. I'm praying for you with joy because of the fellowship we share in the gospel, and the full measure of our fellowship will be realized at the return of Christ in glory, and I have you at the center of my heart because you are all fellowshippers with me of grace. As I'm in prison and as we defend and proclaim the gospel, this is how much love I have for you in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what God has built between the apostle and the people of God? It's a beautiful picture of what God builds between the people of his church. One of the reasons I love this passage so much for a day like today is because Paul was a minister of the gospel, writing to the people he ministered to and grew so close to, and he expressed something here that I don't think I could possibly say any better than he has. It's exactly as I titled the sermon this morning. I hold you in my heart. I wish I could tell each and every one of you individually how much I love you and what the Lord has taught me through you, how I have personally grown because of you. I wish you could know all the times I've prayed for you and have thought about you and your family. I'm so thankful to God that I've been able to rejoice when you rejoice, that I've had the privilege of weeping with you when you weep. I hold you in my heart. I truly and sincerely mean that with all that I am. I love you all deeply, and I cannot begin to express how much I will miss seeing you regularly, shaking your hand, hugging you, laughing with you, learning with you, teaching you, having discussions with you, eating and drinking with you, just spending time with you. As you all know, I've lived in the Savannah area for 19 years of my life. And for 14 of those years, you have been our family. You're the only family we have here. And my children have never known any other church family as their own. And you've never treated them any different because they're the pastor's kids. And you've never put any extra expectations on Felicia because she's my wife. You don't know how much that means to us. It's a fear that every pastor has in a church that their families will bear a significant weight in the church that is not theirs to bear. So thank you for letting my kids be kids and for letting my wife be like any other member of this church. It's been a tremendous blessing for all of us. Now, of course, with families come all the ups and downs. I've already mentioned all of the weddings. I think close to 20 or 25, I think. All the baptisms, I don't know how many, I think close to 30. I wish I kept track. all of the babies, at last count, I think that was near 10,000. And of course, the funerals of three of our members, Donnie Thomas, Teresa Burchett, David Carter. I've been honored to preach a lot of other funerals, but there's something intensely personal and rewarding about spending many years walking with a person in life through sickness and onto the deathbed as their pastor. I will never forget sitting beside Donnie and Teresa and David in their final hours, talking to them, praying with them, and thanking God for every last minute that I got with these three people who loved God and who loved this church and who loved me with a love I certainly don't deserve. All three of them were a huge encouragement to me. There was never any doubt in my mind that they wanted me to succeed at Redeemer. And I will always be thankful for them. Donnie used to introduce me to visitors as our young Timothy. Teresa always had a warm smile and a hug to give me. And David lit up when we shook hands and we had a short chat about his family and about the weather. They were precious, and I will hold them in my heart along with you. Now, families, of course, include different roles. You're all my brothers and sisters. Some of you have given me the godly wisdom of a father or a mother. There are times when some of you may have thought, he's my brother, so I will always love him, but I don't like him very much right now. Some of you may have thought of me as an older brother, and I hope I've been able to do something in your life that is worthy to looking up to, despite all of my own shortcomings. I'm certainly grateful for the collective wisdom of the elders. It has been an amazing privilege to serve with men who love Christ and who love all of you the way that they do. The elders spend a lot of time together. We communicate with one another on almost a daily basis. There aren't a lot of relationships in the world that we have like that, and I am grateful. Russ and I were ordained at the same time here at Redeemer. And many of you don't know this, but he's the reason I was brought here to the church in the first place. He had been a dear friend, even for a few years before my pastorate here, and I've been so thankful for his steadfastness and his deliberate approach to everything that we do as a church. Now, I know Russ doesn't preach much, but I will tell you that I've always loved listening to him preach and to hear what he has gleaned from God's word. He's careful, he's precise, and I love that about him. Jeff and I, we actually got off to a little bit of a rocky start, and I take full responsibility for that. I was a bull in a china shop at 25 years old, but he was very gracious to me through all of it. But very quickly, we resolved that, and I can tell you that I love my brother and his family very much. Jeff is a constant reminder to me of what a man looks like who will do anything for the sake of Christ and his kingdom, even if it's difficult or painful. If I ever have times when I'm feeling spiritually dry or lonely, I know that at some point I'm going to get a text from him telling me that he's praying for me. Or I'm going to hear his voice in my head saying, "What has God been teaching you from his word?" He's a wonderful encourager. He's a blessing to all of us. As for Sam, he's the little brother I never had. He was an overthinking, never-stop-talking teenager when I met him. Now he's a pastor here who spends himself every day for the sake of your souls. I've really been blessed to watch him develop as a pastor, as a husband, and as a father over the years. And I look forward to seeing what God does with him in the years ahead as he continues here at Redeemer. You may think all the things I say about Sam are mean or unkind, but unlike any other close relationship among brothers, I'm allowed to do that because that's how we communicate our love for one another. But as any good older brother would say, I can say those things. Nobody else can, or you have to talk to me. So while Sam is bearing a more significant weight for now, until there's another man here to help share in the ministry with him, I want to plead with you to encourage him, support him, pray for him, send him encouraging notes, find ways that his sermons bless you, and tell him, make sure he knows that you love him. These three elders love all of you in ways that you'll never truly realize, and I pray that they will be able to continue serving RBC with joy. And I could really say something about each and every one of you, but know this, using the Apostle Paul's words, it is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. My biggest prayer for today was not a single one of you could leave here with any question in your minds or any thought whatsoever as to whether or not I love you. That I will miss you tremendously, or whether or not I will pray for you and be thankful for you and all that we've shared in Christ. Please have no doubts, brethren. You mean everything to me and my family, and nothing will change that. I truly, honestly, absolutely hold you in my heart, and I'm so thankful to be able to tell you without a hint of hesitation. So lastly, I want to leave you with this from verses 9 through 11. Continue to persevere in the things of God to the glory of God. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I've expressed much of this already, so I'll just highlight the general sense of Paul's words here. My prayer for Redeemer is that you will persevere faithfully and joyfully in the things of God to the glory of God. Now, truly, if this is not the target we're all aiming for, everything is really for naught. The fellowship of the saints is a tremendous blessing. The unity of the church is a gift from God. The family we grow as we come together is a treasure above most, but if none of it is ultimately pointing toward making much of Christ to the glory of God, it doesn't hold water. So here's my final appeal to all of you. And it's the most important thing that I will say today and that I say anytime I'm standing in this pulpit. First, do you know Christ? If you don't know Christ, if you're not a Christian, I want to appeal to you to look to him that you might find true and everlasting life. He lived a perfect, law-fulfilling life that you cannot live. He died a sinner's death that you deserve. He was raised from the dead to defeat sin and death, so that when you come to him by faith alone, you need not fear that he will turn you away, that he will overlook you, but you can know that he will receive you and love you and remove your heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh that loves him and that wants to obey him. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him you might become the righteousness of God. By faith, you will forever be his as you strive with all that you have in this life to greater communion with him. And for all eternity, you will enjoy that communion with the saints of God completely unhindered. Will you in humility turn to Christ that you might know true life? If you're a Christian this morning, most of you are, I want to ask you this. Are you trusting Christ? In your own life, are you trusting Christ? For the future of his church, are you trusting Christ? He has promised that the gates of hell shall never prevail against his church. Do you trust his promises? He's promised that he will never leave you or forsake you. Do you believe that, even when things are tough? He has promised that he loves you with an everlasting love and that he will keep you unto the end of the age. Do you remind yourself of that great truth when you feel lonely, when you feel lost? Have you sensed how great and gracious the Lord Jesus Christ truly is? Keep looking to him. Continue persevering in the things of God. Never take your eyes off of Christ and live each and every day with this thought in your mind. He lived for me. He died for me. He's keeping me. And he will never let me go. And so with that, I say with the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1 and verse 20, it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now and always, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. All I ever wanted to be for you was a faithful shepherd who helped you all to keep your eyes on Christ, that we might live and die for his glory. I hope the Lord is pleased. I hope you're standing faithfully upon the righteousness of Christ. And I hope that when all is said and done, my name at Redeemer Baptist Church will become less and less, while Christ becomes more and more. To him, to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.